Ayo, this is Rich.
And Marcus.
And you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast, where we answer your questions on work and money with the hopes we don't leave you saying, that's that shit I don't like.
Well done, sir. And if you enjoyed today's episode or have been enjoying the show, don't forget to share it with your network. We've made it super easy to do so. Go to paychecksandbalances.com/tweet. All you have to do is hit send.
I also forgot to mention, even though it was kind of implied, that this is a Q&A episode. So if you're new to the show, occasionally we get questions from listeners. Sometimes we answer them right away. Other times it takes us a few weeks. And today we have a listener recommends. So we have listeners who will check out new apps and services and then tell us about it. And then sometimes we'll talk about those in the show. And we also have a specific fix my debt type of question.
I did some research, and I'm going to start that with a disclaimer. But yes, we'll get to that in the show.
All right, cool. So this first one here from Anonymous. What's up, fellas? Longtime listener. Love the show. You guys always talk about paying off debt, and that's motivated me to tackle my credit card debt. Yay. I was on my company's benefits site, and under financial resources, they had a credit card debt payoff calculator. And basically, this calculator tells you to put in your credit card balances and the interest rate, and also how much extra you want to put towards paying off your debt each month. It then calculates how long it will take to pay off the debt with the extra money versus if you just want to pay the minimum payments, which they assume is 3% of the balance. They then create a payment plan using the avalanche method of tackling the highest interest rate cards first and show how much to pay on each card for how many months. And then in parentheses, he says, you always pay at least a minimum. And then once you get a card paid off, you put that payment to another card. So, for example, if you're paying $300 in credit card payments each month and you want to pay another $50, they allocate that $350 across the cards until all the debt is paid off. Does that make sense?
It does, friend. It does. And we had another listener email that I'm going to walk through, and then I'm going to try to tie all of these together. From C, he has a debt plan, or at least that's from the subject. So I want to get out of debt. I want to get out of credit card debt by my 26th birthday next year in May. Congratulations. Happy early birthday. And
kind of sounds like a young whim.
Yeah, yeah. That is a noble goal to have there. So he goes into the details, which since I left anonymous, and I do appreciate, I'm going to share on the show. So right now he's at $11,464 and some change, has that at an 18% APR on that credit card. And then he has another credit card. Well, I'm assuming these are credit cards because these are two that he gave me. $1,848.43 at 0% until October.
So that's
after
about,
that.
No, go ahead. I'll ask afterwards. So,
well, that one goes to 17% APR. After taxes, I take home an amount. I'm not gonna make it that obvious, but he takes home an amount of money that he shared here. I'm just not sure where to start. Any suggestions are greatly appreciated. Sound like you had a comment, question, or concern?
I was trying to do the math on the debt between the two cards, so that it looks like it's like 13.
That's $13,313.
There we go, friend. That's what I was looking for. I was like, why did I ask about this? I made it more difficult for myself. I should have just stayed quiet. So person has just over 13K in credit card debt.
And so he asked for some advice, and I think these tie together well on paying that off. So I've got a few debt calculators that I've used over the years. I haven't used in a while, and proved that I was very rusty. It's impressive how quickly you can get, well, maybe it just further affirms how washed I am, how quickly I lose track of how to use technology, because it took me longer than I remember it being last time. So I'll go into those.
My first snap was my last.
You said your first snap?
Yeah, my first snap was my last.
I thought you said your first nap.
Nah, that would mean I was dead.
That would just be your first, I guess. Financial disclaimer, the information contained within hereafter strictly for educational purposes. If you wish to apply ideas contained in this podcast, you are taking full responsibility for your actions.
No ties. We'll take all your money.
Thank you, disclaimer voice. So the good news, see, you've made the decision to get out of debt. You know, congratulations. And you've got a timeline, which I'll talk about in the book, is very important key and probably the third most important thing you need to do when you want to get out of debt. That's awesome. So now the fact/bad news. So you didn't give us a budget, which is fine. But if you don't have a budget, you need a budget. Before you do what I'm about to devise today, make sure you know what your budget is. And I'm assuming you don't, just because you didn't share it doesn't mean it didn't exist. You know, tree falls in a forest, still makes a sound type of thing. If you need help developing a budget, we have two shows, which we talk about, and I'll link to in the show notes, that cover how to develop, one, a budget within 15 minutes on Where Did My Money Go? And a new budgeting app, which actually was another Q&A, QA8. Number eight. Ooh, that I don't even know.
Anyway. Whatever.
QA, as in, wow. Get that out of there.
It's supposed to be Q&A. I mean, so otherwise I'd have to put QAA8, and that just seems like.
It's not you. It's the Q, the A and the 8 together are throwing me off. Switch between A and 8.
All right. But we're definitely letting people into more of the behind the scenes. Like this should be like in the outtake blooper reel. So that actually might need to be a thing one day. But anyway.
The cold hard math. So you have approximately $13,313 in debt between the two credit cards, which I'm going to assume they're credit cards. And based on your calculations, you want to get out of debt by your birthday, which is noble, which is 9 months from now.
So aggressive. So,
yeah. I mean, like you said, young and reckless, the young and the reckless. We talked about that on another show there. I am not going to disparage the energy of the youth. You can do it, because not only do I know you can do it, I actually did it myself. But the cold hard facts, or the cold hard math, is just without interest, $13,000 approximately divided by 9 months would mean you would have to pay $1,479 a month just to break even, not including interest. So I'm going to go through the usual suspects. I'm going to go through these pretty quick because I've mentioned them a lot now. So if you're new to the show, they'll be in the show notes. But they are free debt payment calculator options. Bankrate, which I have not shied away from saying it is my favorite, only because it's free and they tend to be the most comprehensive that I've found to date.
They really got to start paying you, bro. They really got to start paying you.
When they do, y'all will know it, and I will plug them just as heavily. But not only is it one of the things that I plug, I actually use them. So they have a credit-only calculator, and they have an index of credit card calculators. They have so many calculators to choose from. Half the research I did on the show was just figuring out which calculator I wanted to use. So y'all don't have to worry about that, because I'm going to send you to the credit-only calculator. The pros for Bankrate is free. It's comprehensive, and they actually generate the report. So you can print the report. You can download the report. If I remember correctly, it's been a while. I believe it comes out in a PDF, but there might be an Excel version as well. The cons, it is not intuitive. It's not easy to use. Someone clearly very smart and tech-like designed it, but I think they might be too smart and tech-like for themselves. So it does take some work. Yeah, it takes some work to get used to, but it is by far and pretty much across the board one of the more comprehensive tools I've seen. Simple Dollar, simpledollar.com. I've used a few of their tools as well. I'll plug this one, which is a simpledollar.com debt payoff calculator. That'll be in the show notes. Pros, it's easy to use. I kind of played around with it a little bit. I didn't use it for today's, let's call it a case study. You can adjust your extra monthly payment in real time. The cons, there wasn't a report that I saw, but as many of us know, if you use Chrome and you save to print, you can save as a PDF. So there's a workaround for that. I tried to plug in this guy's scenario, Mr. C, and it doesn't account for 0% interest. It actually gave me an error rate, which I thought, I didn't care for that. So I actually moved on quickly thereafter. And another, I'll call it a setback, is you can only go up to 600 in your extra monthly payment estimate. So to be clear, on Bankrate, you plug in whatever extra amount you want to pay. On Simple Dollar, it's a scroll bar, and that's why that scroll bar stops at $600.
Oh, it's fixed. I didn't know that.
Or maybe they assume their listeners don't have more than $600. I don't know their justification. I just know it stops at $600.
That's just disrespectful.
NerdWallet. I've gone to NerdWallet a few times for a number of different other sources. So nerdwallet.com/debt has a few different sources you can choose from. Unfortunately, for the purposes of this show, I couldn't use the website. I didn't feel like registering. Frankly, I was just lazy. But NerdWallet has a great reputation. I've used them as a good resource for other debt money management areas. And I've never been let down. I wouldn't even say I was let down this time, except to use this particular tool, you had to sign up. But it did say it was free, and you did have free access to their money and debt management tool. It looked really cool in the preview screens that I could see on the free side, but Actually, listeners, if you want to register, nerdwallet.com/debt, try it out for a few weeks. Let us know how it works. I'm happy to take your advice, and that might be our next listener recommend. Did you have any comments before I move into the results?
They really need to be paying us for that. That was it.
The cold, hard facts. So my recommendation, as alluded to in our previous listeners' email, is actually tackle the lower debt. So that was about the $1,800 one. I'm going to recommend the snowball method here for two reasons instead of the avalanche. I believe that moral victories are still victories. And I think knocking out that $1,800, especially since you said the APR expires in October on that one, I think seeing a balance at zero is always good for me. And I think it's good for a lot of people. So you could tackle the $11,000 and it has more interest. But given that your interest is going to be roughly on par at the $1,800, plus you could probably knock that out in the next couple months, I'd say knock it out.
So I want to talk about the specifics of the math. So for that 9-month goal that you have a total of approximately $13,000. I'm going to start rounding these numbers for the ease of our listeners. And there's $11,000 approximately on card number one and about $1,800 on your second card. So if you want to get out of debt in 9 months, that's a total of $13,000. So just paying that over 9 months would be $1,479 a month. But that doesn't even include interest. So to hit your goal of 9 months, using the calculators that we'll have in the show notes, what you'll need to do plus interest is pay in the following manner. So for the first month on your lower card, which is the $1,800, you'll pay $1,600, and then you'll pay the minimum balance on card number one. Then the second month, you'll pay $248, or essentially you'll pay off that second card. That'll allow you to hit your goal of October when you said the interest will kick back in. And then on your higher card, you'll start to really pay this one off. And that month, you'll make $1,551 in payments. So for our listeners, I mean, you don't need to follow this math. I emailed him this specific information, but I did want y'all to see this as well. Then for months 3 through 9 are essentially until this card is paid off, you'll pay about $1,800 a month and just make that payment. I mean, and I know it sounds easier until the card is paid off. And again, $1,800 sounds like a lot. I didn't really have your total budget to work with, but I did want to give you this math so you can have those numbers in front of you. But now that you have this information, I think you can go back and say, hey, do I need to change my budget? Do I need to adjust higher or lower? Is 9 months too aggressive? And maybe it's not aggressive enough. Maybe you're balling out a little bit different way than I'm considering right now on the show. And again, I'll put this information in the show notes, the debt calculators I use, and how I came to these total amounts.
Wow. I mean, you might also not have much else left, but you'll be debt-free, though, which is where we're trying to get.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. I mean, without your budget, I don't know what you can cut out. As we talked about on a previous show, usually the three largest expenses are transportation, housing, and food. So if you want to have the most significant cuts, that's where you should cut. If you can live without cable, that's $12,000 after 5 years. So it can be done. To put it frankly, to make significant debt payments, you have to make significant cuts and expenses.
Significant debt payment equals significant sacrifice somewhere.
Yeah. And I talked about it wasn't fun. You know, I did the two jobs and the three jobs. I was about 23 or 24 then. You tend to have a little bit more energy. I know there's the Ubers of the world and the Task Rabbits and all the side jobs on side jobs on side jobs. There is ways to make additional income, but I usually found that the quickest way to actually raise my income was to cut my expenses. And then I might find one-off opportunities to get additional income. You know, additional income, as many of us know that have tried to find it, Cutco Knives was one of my favorites. It's hard to find. It's hard to make significantly more money quickly, or everyone would do it.
Yeah.
Expenses is just a matter of, hey, I'm gonna cut my cable today. I'm gonna cut back on my cell phone data plan. I'm gonna call up whatever my insurance is and see if they can save me 15%. No plug. Those are things that you can do in a weekend, and that's why I say expenses, at least up front, tend to be the quicker turnaround.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking, even if you do pick up a second job, then that's going to be time that you're not spending doing something else. So if getting out of debt really is the priority, maybe you have something else that you were working toward that you might have to put that on hold for a few months.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I have some other considerations. I pulled this from NerdWallet to get an idea of what's a good credit score. So they rank excellent, 720 to 850, 850 being the highest credit score you can get. I've never reached 850. I think the closest I got was 780 once. And it means nothing. It's largely arbitrary, I've learned. It really didn't make my life that much greater or worse. Because I've seen excellent credit score, and I shared an article on @PayBalances about this. Once you get essentially into the ranges, whether you're at, and I've seen it really, the cutoff is about 730. Whether you're 730 or 800 or 850, what they offer you is pretty much the same. You're like, you've already gotten into the best credit score range.
Yeah. And so at that point, you're like nickel and diming for an extra 0.001, I presume.
Yeah. Yeah. In that article, they were saying that once you reach 730 and higher, you're pretty much qualified for the highest rates. I mean, which makes sense because rates can only go so low.
Lowest rates, you mean? Qualified, yes, for the lowest rates.
I should have said the best rates. There we go.
Yes. There we go. Yes. The best rates. All right.
So a good credit score, according to this, is 690 to 719. Average is 630 to 689. And poor is 350 to 629. And I'm just reading here, folks. I'm not making any judgments. This is a judgment-free zone. So if you fall into the 350 to 629, it's not me. This Nerd Wallet that you need to write into and curse out. So I just want to clarify there.
Now, but the reason, question, go ahead. And I'm not sure if you have the answer to this now. Of course, there's three different credit bureaus, and then people also talk about the FICO score and how that score is different from the scores that the different bureaus have. So what's considered good, excellent, average can vary depending on the bureau or place with people who are silhouettes in suits whose faces you never see who are determining your financial future.
I agree, and I think that's why, generally speaking, you'll see ranges. So if you go out there and say, what's a good, excellent, or average credit score, most of the time it's a range. And therefore, I have to assume that most lenders are looking at it at a range as well. I don't think they go that it's 729.855. Like, I think they just say, hey, if you fall within this range, here are the offers that we can make you, and on down the line.
Right. Got it.
I did have a question for you that I hope you can answer, because I realize I just spring it on you right now. But don't you have someone that you use? So your credit report, you are legally entitled to once a year, and I'll plug that in the show notes. That's actually a federal law. But your credit score, you have to obtain usually from a number of different sources. I think you have one that you
use. Yeah. So, okay. So I do have the answer to that, and I have multiple answers. So Credit Karma is what I talk about the most, where you can log in and you can see your credit score across two of the bureaus. I know TransUnion for one, and then the other one is Equifax. There we go. And then also, a lot of times with these credit card companies nowadays, they're offering visibility into your FICO score, you know, if you have a card with us. So for both my Citi card as well as my Chase card, when I log in, there's a screen I can click to see where I can see my most recent FICO score for that month, whether it be for Experian or for Equifax. So I don't log into Credit Karma as much, because when I log into to pay my credit card bill every month, that information is right there for me too. And I also know that I have debt that's going away, and I'm not adding a ton of additional debt or anything like that. So I'm not too worried, but those are options. So if you have a credit card already, they probably offer your credit score. And then if not, looking in the Credit Karma, which seems to be cool and hip and for those who are young and want to be responsible. So definitely something worth checking out too. So you can just kind of see what information is out there. And yeah, you know, you might as well look at them all. Knowledge is power.
And the reason I bring all of these up, or we're kind of sharing these, is there is no excuse, in my opinion, in this day and age to pay for your credit score. Maybe 2, 3, 5 years ago, like, I could say, oh yeah, pay for this, pay for that. At this point, there's no reason I could think of to pay to see your credit score. There are so many free avenues to get it. So if you go somewhere and you have to pay for it, I'm going to say don't do it.
Yeah. And I mean, there are people who are signed up for like LifeLock, or even the credit bureaus have those monitoring services where they will also let you see your score. So would you put that in a different bucket?
Yes. I am, and this is my opinion, and I fully own it. I am not convinced
with all these free avenues. And so mine is Mint. I get my credit score from Mint. And also I think my,
that's another one.
My bank, they just give it to me. They just, I just see it floating around on the website every now and then. I don't even go looking for it. I think they're trying to get me to buy stuff, but, I understand LifeLock. LifeLock's a little bit different, but I just can't think of a reason that you would need to pay to monitor your credit score from month to month. Even I say that even on people on like a credit repair program, and you might be paying for the program, but I think one of the benefits of the program is getting your credit score. I just can't think of any reason to monitor your credit score from month to month, because it, first of all, it doesn't change much from month to month. And even if you were trying to improve, even if you were trying to improve it or it was worsening it and you saw it the second or the third month, to me, that's no different than paying to see it month to month. I just think there's much better things that you could be doing with your money than staring at a three number score. That'd be like monitoring your SATs from month to month. I guess.
Nicely done.
It's informational, but even if you were looking to buy a home or something like that, you still don't need to pay. I don't buy into it. Maybe that's a short way of putting it. Now, you know, there's going to be plenty of people that write in probably for these companies. Oh, well, of course you need to pay. And here's all that. Nah, I'm not convinced, bro. Don't waste your finger space.
Nah. I mean, and the thing is, I had LifeLock before, and I had, experience credit monitoring before. And with each of those, when it started out, it was like, yeah, for the first 6 months, $4.99. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm only for $5 a month for a cup of coffee. I can monitor my credit score. And then one day I stopped paying attention. I looked at my bill and it was like $19.99 per month or something crazy like that. And that's the other thing. A lot of times these services, if you don't pay attention, and this is in general with subscription programs, you know, you stop paying attention because you know you're just going to get billed for it. Next thing you know, they're triple the price from when you initially signed up for something that you can get for free elsewhere. And as you have said on many an episode, good sir, when you annualize that, you realize it's a lot of extra money that's going out the door that could be better used elsewhere.
Right. And we talked about, and actually, ironically, it was Chase Bank who has this, but if you pay an extra $10 a month, we've talked about this, you're spending $793.44 on interest. And over 36 months, what is this crazy thing?
Can't
even just an extra $10 a month. I'm looking at the article. Let's assume you have a credit card balance of $2,000 on the card with an interest rate of 18%. Oh, look at that tie-in. And you pay more than the minimum. In that time, you'll end up paying an extra $2,400. Just an additional $10 or $60 on the minimum could save you 11 years worth of payments. So you'd be rid of that debt in 47 months, 4 years, instead of 15 years. So I think a lot of people, the reason I bring that up and the reason I cite that article so much is, one, it literally comes from a bank. So a bank who's on the side of doing lending is telling you, hey, just an extra $10 can save you $2,400 in 47 months. So I think it's a really good source, number one. And then number two, I think a lot of people assume I got to do this big monumental change. I got to pay thousands of dollars, which you do if you want to pay it off in 9 months, to pay off my debt. And I'm like, nah, man, give up a cup of coffee here or there. You know,
it adds up.
Yeah, you know, it's not that serious, bro. It's not that serious. And the reason I brought up the credit scores is if you are in that, I'm going to say excellent range, and I'll go into why. Good, maybe. Average, don't do this advice I'm about to offer. And I say that because the way the system is set up, which is ironic, if they do a hard check on your credit score or your credit report in this case, it's going to lower your credit score. So you already, and this is the irony of things, you already need to have excellent to good credit to qualify for the good score, because if you apply for a whole bunch of things, your score will drop possibly into a less desirable category.
Wait, you said to qualify for the good score?
To qualify for the good rate.
Okay,
I got a good score. So the two tips I was going to offer is, you know, are you using the best credit card? If you have a score in the excellent range, do a credit card search. Do not apply for more than, I'm going to say one, and I don't know if you have thoughts on this, possibly three, because I think what most people do is they don't do research. They wait for a card to come in the mail. It says you have been pre-approved, and then they go out and select. You know, they wait to be chose instead of go out and do the choosing. And or, I think you're just good.
Or I just said figuring you would keep talking and then I would come in. But now that you put me on the spot, I slightly forgot what I was about to say. Hold on a second. Let me see if it comes back. Okay, got it. Or they go to a website or they search best cards and they pick the first card in the list or whatever some site says is the most popular card to get without really comparing across the different credit card companies. I've done that. I've done that before too. I'm like, all right, let me look up, you know, best credit cards for this. And then I just go and then I apply for that one, not knowing that there was another one out there that might have been even better for me had I taken a little bit more than 5 minutes to actually research it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I mean, I guess what I would challenge folks is to research no less than 5 cards to determine the card best for you, if not 10, and then choose one card, apply one time, and see what the result is. I think what a lot of people do is they get 10 offers, so they apply 10 times, their credit score gets dinged 10 times, and then they wonder why they get unapproved for all of them. I mean, and now your credit score is lower. So not only did you not get the outcome you want, your credit score has gone down, which then means you're going to get worse offers in the future. Don't do that.
Nah, son. And one of the things I actually like about Credit Karma is, and because a lot of times these services, you're like, how do they offer this for free? But a lot of times what they're doing is indirectly kind of selling you on other credit cards and other debt types of services. So when I go in, I can click on a tab that says like offers or credit cards, and it'll show me a list of cards that people with a credit score in my range are eligible for or have. And then it'll also say the likelihood of being approved for that card based on my information compared to everyone else who has applied and gotten that same card or applied and been denied for that same card. So I did find when I was doing my last round of credit card review, I did find that helpful. And it's not going to be 100% accurate. It could say likely and you still don't get approved. That's always the case, but at least knowing like, all right, this is like, you know, something that I have an okay chance of getting versus something that it's very likely that, you know, there's still a small chance I may not get it, but it's very likely that if I apply for this, I'm going to get this and then I'm not going to have to go apply for something else afterwards. So that in itself is probably a reason to at least look into the service. And I swear they should be paying us for this.
And as it goes to see, I'm specifically talking about the higher interest credit card. So actually, I believe you were anonymous. So as it goes to anonymous, I'm talking about the highest interest credit card. You want to move or see if you can move that to a 0% with a 0% balance transfer. So I've talked about this before where a lot of people get caught up is they only see the 0% introductory rate. And then they pay $350 or $500 to transfer their credit, thus increasing their principal or the loan or the credit another $500-$300. Don't do that. If you can't get a card with a 0% balance transfer, most of the time when I've done the math, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And if you want to see that for yourself, Bankrate, I'm sorry, but they just have so many calculators. They have a debt consolidation and a debt loan transfer calculator, which I didn't use for the purposes of the show, but will be available in the show notes.
Boom.
And then again, caveat, caveat, caveat. If you have a excellent, possibly, but preferably excellent credit score, you might also want to look into a consolidation loan. So I did a little bit of research on this. I just think 17% is pretty high. I think you can definitely lower that 17%. The thing is, there comes a point where especially if you're going to start paying your credit cards down, it might be irrelevant. So if you move over to a loan, which is going to lower your credit score to get a lower interest rate of like 12%. Yeah, that's kind of on the fence. Now, if you can cut your interest rate in half, then yeah, I would say you might want to take a look at that. And the reason I say that is because I was looking at the current rates, which are advertised. And the only way you get the advertised rates, which is why I continue to emphasize this, is when you have an excellent credit score. So yeah. Every time those commercials are like, you know, 0% interest, those are for the excellent folks. So the lowest I saw, though, was 6%, again, for top candidates. So if you fall in that group, you might want to look at a consolidation loan. Now, some people feel some type of way about consolidation.
If you're like me, you probably hate grocery shopping. And if you're like me, you probably hate figuring out dinner every night. And that's where HelloFresh comes into play. So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novice chefs like myself to seasoned home cooks. And one of the best things about this is if you're cooking just for yourself, each meal could last you 2 days. I discovered that when I was making this sizzling beef stir fry last week. I promise you, it really was sizzling. And if you're wondering how the food gets delivered, it arrives at your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks. Again, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks when you subscribe. Check it out.
And I know why they feel that way, but I also feel that they're not being wholly accurate. I have nothing against consolidation loans for a few reasons. One, they put you on a fixed payment plan, whether you like it or not. Number two, they put you on a fixed APR. At least that's the ones that I choose, whether you like it or not. And that's be the ones I'd recommend versus the variable rate. I don't like variable rates. It's a gamble. For the lower interest rate, you're taking the gamble that interest rates won't go up. And although they haven't gone up for a long time, you don't want to be the person they eventually go up on. And you can talk to the housing bust people about that. But number three is you have to be, and I think it's a mental exercise. I think people are just basically dismissing. If you're going to put all of your debt or majority of your debt on a consolidation loan, like, it's not a game.
Yeah.
Like, you literally have to, I would actually say, cut up the credit cards, because and I did this many, many moons ago, but I talk about in the book, I got a consolidation loan and I didn't use it to pay off the credit cards.
I was going to plug that for you.
That's not a plug.
Well, I mean, just that you mentioned it, because you were talking about it and I was remembering that I read it in the book. That's all.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't plugging that you were pretty damn irresponsible.
Yeah. And there's a story when I was writing the book, I didn't even realize how bad it was. I had to do the math. And basically, in one weekend, in less than 72 hours, I tripled my debt. I quadrupled my debt 300% by some of the dumbest actions I've ever made in my entire life. And basically, I got a consolidation loan and I didn't use it for its intended purpose. And I kept the credit cards that I already had that was supposed to be for its intended purpose.
Yo, it's so wild.
And I bought a car. And so I'm telling y'all to do as I say, not as I do. Even with that experience, I don't have anything against consolidation loans. Like, the consolidation loan didn't like force my hand. The consolidation loan didn't guide me into the dealership to go buy a car with the monies. And that's not what it's supposed to be used for. I was just stupid. And I'm just telling y'all, don't be dumb. Consolidation loans they can be awesome. I mean, they're fixed rate, if you choose them correctly, fixed rate loans that generally cut interest you're already paying. If you have the personal dexterity to be responsible and use them, which is why I say if you go that route and you're approved, use it for its intended purpose and then cut up the credit cards.
Yeah. So do you think the struggle is because people get that actual check in the mail and they just can't help themselves versus it just like automatically paying off the... So let's say you got a consolidation loan, and maybe it does work this way, because I've never done this before. But you get the consolidation loan, they go, okay, tell us what amounts to send where, and then you just start paying us back versus actually getting a big ass check in the mail, and then you're responsible with bringing that to the bank and then using it to pay your stuff off. Like, is there a way to take that step out where you have the ability to see that check and basically distribute that money?
You know, I have my theories, because it happened twice, both with two large institutions. It just happened to be the second time I did what I was supposed to do. So both of them mailed me a check. And it's not like this was like 1970. Like, they have the option to direct deposit. My theory is they send it to you on purpose. I can't prove it, but I don't think they're hoping. I just think they're saying that, hey, if you want to spend this how you're supposed to be spent on that trade, those consolidation loans and all those things that you wrote about, cool. But if you want to make it rain, make it rain. Like I feel like they are legally washing their hands of it. And they're making loans to people who are coming to them who recognize themselves don't have the personal responsibility to be financially responsible. So
if you were truly, you know, I work in risk management. If you were truly trying to reduce the risk of someone spending money irresponsibly, handing them essentially a blank check doesn't seem to be trying to reach that desirable outcome. In my humble opinion, only theory. I don't want to get into it. This isn't the conspiracy theory show. Maybe we need to split that out because I've got plenty.
I do kind of want to look it up, though. I do want to look up and see if there's some reason that they actually send a hard check versus doing the direct deposit. Because even when you roll over your 401k, they'll send you a check, even though it has like whoever you're rolling it to's name on it and like the care of or whatever space that is. But I'm just curious, like maybe there is some legitimate reason that they choose to go that route other than just saying, you know what, do what's got you in trouble all these years without us actually telling you to.
Man, you let me know. We need to do a show about that. All right. So I actually think it's three parts. So yes, it's a check and a mail. It's usually a significantly large check. It's literally a check to pay off all of your debts in most cases. So, I mean, we might be talking about
it's like a refund check in school.
Yeah. And you see how people spent those.
Yo, I got refund checks just to spend the money. Like, oh, it's free money. Just completely forgetting that I'd have to pay it back one day. I don't know what I was. You know what? This isn't about me.
So, I got friends still paying off rims that they don't own that they bought in college with refund checks. So, you know, it's a humbling experience. So, yes, it's a blank check in the mail. That's number one. Two, it's just, you know, mentally difficult to then take that blank check, go over to the bank and do responsible things with it. Like I said on an earlier show, sometimes you just got to do hood rat things. I mean, it is what it is. It's all in our blood. We just learn to not do it over the years.
You're right.
And then the harder exercise, let's say you did get that blank check in the mail and you did use it for its intended purpose, which is to pay off your credit cards. It's a mental illusion because now you have a bunch of credit cards with a zero balance.
Yeah.
So you start going through this exercise. Ooh. Like, my credit cards are at zero. And because your credit cards are now at zero, the credit card companies are going to start sending you offers. Hey, we saw that you're at zero. We increased your credit line.
I wasn't expecting that last little bit of.
Yeah. So you rip that voice up. You're like, get out of here, credit card. And then they're like, hey, saw the balance is at zero. Here's a transfer fee. You're like, hey, it's like, it's literally credit card peer pressure.
Yeah, it is.
And you have to resist it for, in this gentleman's case, if he wants to pay it off by his birthday, 9 months or 24 months or 36 months or 48 months or 72 months, however the loan is. I mean, it's literally a mental exercise. It sounds easier than it is. You know, common sense is it common is the saying. You're sitting on 0% and possibly 0%, but definitely a zero balance. But all you did was shift the money. Like, you're still, that money's still out there. But I think people are like, well, now it's on a consolidation loan. And because it's a consolidation loan, it's usually going to be a lower interest. And now it's a lower minimum payment, assuming you're just paying the minimum payment. It's hard. I don't know any other way to say it. It basically gives you a second chance to be responsible. But if you were responsible, you wouldn't need a second chance in the first place.
Oh, you have a point there, good sir. Mr. Marcus. So,
that is all I have for Mr. C and Anonymous. I hope that information will be helpful. There'll be a lot of links in the show notes this week, but I think they'll all be helpful as well.
Yeah, this is going to be a comprehensive one. And I had a feeling before we recorded this episode that it was going to be one of the more comprehensive Q&A type of episodes that we've done. But got to put that truth out there in the streets for the people, man. Got to put it out there.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate the listener recommends for the debt payment spreadsheet and the person asking for how to get their debts aligned, especially at age 26. I mean, actually, I think he's 25, turning 26, isn't he? I mean, yeah. That needs to be recognized, to want to do it and to seek help, advice, tips on how to do it in itself is a positive exercise. I don't want to be dismissive of that, but what I've going to take pride in on my side is like, yo, that's noble. Good job, man. Yo, real talk. Dap, dap, dap. Do you know how hard that is? Like, I think managing expectation is a key part of the success as well. And you can succeed, but just recognize it's not going to happen overnight. Definitely. But it can be done.
It can definitely be done.
It can be done. I wish I was that ambitious. Like, by my ex birthday, I'm going to be out of debt. I'd be out of debt, most likely, if I picked a birthday far enough out. But I'm making progress, though, you know, and that's the big thing. And I think in listener C's question, I'm getting all the anonymous. We just got to start giving people just names, because the anonymous in the letters, it's making it confusing in my head. But I think in that case, he likely, since he's thinking about this, he likely has at least started listing some stuff out, and probably does have some type of budget somewhere, I'm going to guess, since he's asking this question and seems to be really on this journey toward getting this paid off, which is a lot further ahead than some of us may have been at the same age, potentially even a lot of us. You know?
Yeah, I definitely did not have a budget at 25 that I can remember. And if I did, it probably wasn't very good, because I was in a significant amount of debt at that time.
Yeah. So I definitely had a spreadsheet, but I just never looked at it. I don't know why. And, you know, so, you know, sometimes I think the act of creating a budget is, it's like other things. It's like, yeah, I made a budget. Ha, let me tell everyone that I made a budget. Ha, yeah, I got this budget here. But then, like, you just stop looking at it, because the whole exercise to you was to create one, but not to adhere to it over a period of months or years.
Yeah, I think the people see budgets as telling them what they can't do. And it actually should be used as the opposite, that a budget should tell you what you can do. It's only as good as if you stick to it. Like I've said on another show, you know, I think all these apps and all these websites sometimes, and that's why I was kind of, you know, got on that little rant about, you know, I get my credit score every month. I'm like, okay, for what? Like, I don't even need to buy things that refer to my credit score most months. Like, my credit score might be applicable to my day-to-day life like 3 times a year. So to monitor it every day a year, I guess, cool. I guess I could post a picture of it on the social medias, but that's about it. Like, so it creates this illusion of control and responsibility without actually applying it. And the application is what matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of Paychecks and Balances. And if you've enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell a friend and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
And don't forget to sign up for the Paychecks and Balances email list. In addition to info about my upcoming book, you'll find top work and money stories we've discovered throughout the week, career and money management tips, and more. Visit paychecksandbalances.com/email to sign up.
Super simple. It really takes you like 20 seconds to sign up, and then you just have to click an email, and then you're good to go. Super simple. Just do it. No Nike.
Helpful information you can actually apply.
There we go. There it is. Hold on. I got something for this.
Hey, yeah, like the DJ mix, huh?
Yo, I was like, yo, that almost sounded kind of dope, but then I'm thinking that that's with my rap brain, and I know how that career went, so I'm just going to cut that out right there. But again, thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.